One of my New Year's activities, I wouldn't call it a resolution, but it's an activity, seems every New Year, right about now, I want to do something to clean up my office. We all have our own little things, right? This is a small matter, but it's not, because my office, and my desk especially in my office, is always a mess. So yesterday, wasn't it? Yesterday, no appointments, took several hours to do some work, and then I got to my desk. Well, all the files, they're piled up, months of files. I don't use them. I can put them away, so I plan to put them away. Well, I open my file drawer. I can't put them there because the file drawer is awful. So I start taking things out of the file drawer and culling some of those files and rearranging. That doesn't do it. That doesn't make hardly any room whatsoever. So I go back, and then I finally kind of gave up, but then I had a plan. I'll just take all the files on my desk because I want a clean desk at the end of the day. Wouldn't that be lovely? I'll take all the files. I'll put them in the cabinet behind my desk so that they're available but out of sight and my desk will be clean. So I open the cabinet and I looked in where I want to put this big pile of files. There's no room. And then I remember. It was at this exact time last year that I did this exact same thing. I put all those files in this cabinet, and there's no more room. So if you come to my office this week, the desk is still messy. New things are hard to embrace. Changes are hard to make. And today, we're thinking about new beginnings, obviously connected to this new year. But a suitable topic for any time as we consider one of the primary characteristics of God. It's always important for us to think about and to reflect upon the very nature and character of Almighty God. Who is God? Now, we think of God and know God to be a number of things. All-powerful. God is all-powerful, creator, right? We know God to be all-knowing, knowing all things. All present in all places at all times, this miracle of who God is. We also know God to be merciful. We know God to be kind and compassionate, loving, of course, and one of our primary ways of expressing who God is good. But in the top 10, and a character and attribute of God that we often do not think about or reflect upon enough is that God is, by very nature, a God of new beginnings. A God of new beginnings. We take a look at a number of ways this is revealed to us through the scriptures. We start with Ezekiel, which Amelia read for us a moment ago. To understand Ezekiel's commentary, we need to go back in history and note that around 600 or so B.C., the Israelite people had lost their faith, had turned to other gods, had become lazy, they had stopped their faithful worship, and thus led to the downfall of the nation and the captivity of the majority of Jewish Israelite people by the Babylonians. And so what is called the great captivity of the church, if you will, is that the Israelites were taken into exile 1,000 miles to the east, Babylon, current-day Iraq, and they were kept there for some 60 years. They lost further faith. They intermarried, and they wandered into other ways of believing, which is what the Babylonians wanted and intended, to assimilate them into their ways of believing and living. Ezekiel, prophet of God, speaks for God to the Israelites in these words, saying, "I will restore you to your former land. I will bring you back. And in bringing you back, I will give you a second chance." He says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you." And so here is one of many places where we see God as a God of new beginnings, in spite of all the failures of the Israelite people, giving a new beginning, a second chance back in Jerusalem, where they returned, rebuilt the walls and the temple and so forth. Now, the Old Testament has numerous other places where we see this character of God. Certainly Adam and Eve, who disobeyed God, but God gave them another chance, a second chance. With the Israelites, under Moses, when they were in the wilderness, Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. In the meantime, the Israelites just grow impatient, turn to other ways of thinking and believing. They take all their gold, make a golden calf, they start worshiping that. Oh my goodness! What terrible blasphemy. But God gives them a second chance. Or David, King David, king of Israel, founder of Jerusalem, and then he falls miserably, has an affair with Bathsheba, and all the misery that that caused, and yet after repentance, God gives David a second chance and lets him start over. The New Testament passage today, the book of Revelation, a challenging book to understand, but clearly this is a vision from John. John, who has this dream, this vision of how God intends things to be on earth and in heaven. And so in this vision, expressing the nature and character of God, John in Revelation for God says, I am making all things new. I am making all things new. I saw a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. New. It is God's character and nature and desire to make things new. Throughout Scripture, there's numerous other examples. For example, how many times God gave people a new call and gave them a new name at the same time. So Abram, when called by God to lead his people a long, long time ago, Abram was given a new name, Abraham. So too his wife Sarah was given a new name, Sarah. Likewise, when Saul was persecuting Christians, and God said, I have a plan for your life. You will be Paul. New names meant new beginnings for people. Time and again, folks were given new names. And then, of course, Jesus himself. If you look at the thread running throughout the activity of Jesus, you see this theme of new life, new beginnings, second chances, over and over. So there's Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus and says, how can I find this God? How can I really understand who you are as Messiah? And Jesus says, you have to be born again. Born again, new life. And Nicodemus wonders how to do that. Or the leper who was healed. He was constrained and confined to a life of terrible misery. But Jesus healed him, gave him a new beginning. The adulterous woman deserved to be stoned. She's breaking all the rules of Jewish faith. And Jesus says, no. Go and sin no more. A new beginning for her. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, only worried and thinking about money. But when he met Jesus, Jesus said, follow me. And Zacchaeus said, I'll give half of my money to the poor, and I will follow. Or his good friend Lazarus, dead in the tomb, and Jesus rises him up and teaches us that God is a God of new beginnings. No wonder it's Paul in the New Testament when he wrote to the church in Corinth who would say, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. The old things have passed away. The new has come. God's desire is for you to be new and renewed, to give you a second chance, to give you a new beginning. And as if we needed it, God gave the creation in which there are constant reminders of the new life that God intends. The seasons themselves, as we experience them in this part of the world, remind us of this new life. You know, outside all the trees are dead, aren't they? No, they're not dead. New life will come from those trees. The seasons, the trees, and in spring, when spring comes, you will see a little caterpillar. You will think it's dead in a cocoon, but soon enough, new life, new freedom, second chance in a butterfly. And as God created you, every one of you, right this very instant, your cells are dividing at some place in your body, perpetually dividing, giving you new hope and new life. For if your cells, as you are created by God physically, did not divide, you would be soon dead. God has woven into the fabric of creation, expressed it throughout countless people over thousands of years. The nature and character of God is for new beginnings. That is what God does, and that is what God wants for you. For you. And at this cusp of the new year, it's a powerful moment to embrace this and to consider how it is and where it is in your life that God can take something old and make something new to give you a new beginning in some area of your living. And that's what Bill did. When Bill was a young man, he was stupid and young and got into the wrong crowd, and for $5,000, he became a hitman, shot somebody, killed him, and was sent to jail to death row. Bill grew up in poverty, never had a chance, as they said. No one of faith had ever spoken to him. And there's Bill, as a young man, on death row. And Bill simply sat there, waiting to die. Appeals, of course, take years, and years rolled on. But then, two Christian men went into the prison and started talking to people about Jesus and talking to Bill about Jesus Christ. And Bill embraced the faith of Christ, accepted him as his Savior, and said, "Yes, I do believe." And it changed him from within. The man of hatred and bitterness, even evil, changed. Goodness started to flow. And he then began to talk to other prisoners on death row about Jesus. Bill changed completely. The guards noticed. The warden noticed. Bill's nickname after a while became the Peacemaker. And it was said that in this prison, this was the safest ward in the whole prison because so many people on that block had accepted Christ and were living lives of peace and kindness and putting aside the anger and all of the hatred that was so common before. And then, would you know, churches in the area found out about Bill. They heard about this convict on death row who was changing lives by talking to people about Jesus. Churches then got permission to send certain people into the prison to talk to Bill. Sending people in to see Bill because he was having so much impact, helping people come to Christ, changing their lives, taking a new beginning. Well, people all around heard about Bill. Then a letter-writing campaign started, and people said, "We have to have Bill's sentence commuted. We want that changed. He shouldn't die. He's doing so much good now." And wouldn't you know, history reveals that not only over the 16-year period, not only was Bill's sentence commuted, but he was paroled and let go. And then he went on in a housing project near where he lived to be a street pastor, to lead worship services, and to help other people come to know Christ. Talk about new beginnings. And that's a true story. And a PS here, so that you remember what we seek to do also, because Trinity is blessed to have men going into Northern State Prison on almost every Friday night into Newark, doing similar discipleship work. And we never know how they or we who support them might help change another Bill. Keep that ministry in your prayer. And remember that if Bill can change, if Bill can find a new beginning, so can you. Now, you're not in prison. I'm not in prison. Except, you know, folks, I've met a lot of people who really are. The prisons that constrain so many of us are prisons of the soul. Prisons like anger, fear, anxiety, brokenness, relationships that are broken, financial messes that have been created. All kinds of things imprison us. And you ask today, where am I in prison? Where do I need a new beginning? In what part of my life, in what corner of my soul do I need a new beginning that God wants to do? And that's what God wants to do. Give you a new beginning in some corner of your soul. And it takes risks. And it takes trust. And it takes letting go. Letting go of the old to embrace the new. Georgia O'Keeffe, the great artist of America. Many of you will know and remember Georgia O'Keeffe as a Southwest artist whose great paintings of the desert were very much appreciated and valued highly. But Georgia O'Keeffe married a man, a photographer who lived in New York City. She moved to New York, and history tells us that when she moved there, one day she realized she had to start over in her work. She had to just completely change her style of painting, and everything was changing. So one night, she took all of her paintings in her gallery and put them out on the streets of New York City for the garbage to collect. Valuable, beautiful paintings, someone said, but she let go of them. They went out to dinner that night. When they came back, they realized the weather and the wind had had their way. These paintings were blowing all over the street. Georgia O'Keeffe walked past all of them, went back to her house the next day to her gallery, and began painting in a new way. And those paintings likewise went on to be a source of beauty and inspiration for thousands. Letting go is a part of starting over. Taking risks is a part of starting over. But when we do, God can have his way with us and make something new in your life. You see, that's God's job. That's God's business. That's God's nature. That's God's character. God wants to make something new in your life today and in this year to come. We just have to participate. In the year 1181, a monastery was built in the country of Wales. There had never been such a beautiful monastery built. It was near the town of Tintern, and it came to be known as Tintern Abbey. You'll see a picture of it in a moment. Tintern Abbey was the most beautiful building in the whole country. Monks went there and lived and studied, but other people came to see it. You see, it was made of beautiful stones, red sandstone, but also stones of purple and gray and buff. This was the most beautiful building. People came from all around to see it. Then, in the 16th century, King Henry VIII, King of England, dissolved all the monasteries, closed them all. And so Tintern Abbey was closed, no longer a place for spiritual renewal and study. No one lived there. And Time and the Elements began to have their way with this place. Windows were lost, wood was ruined and lost and crumbled. All that was left was the stone. And then the stone itself began to crumble and fall. Over decades, the stone continued to break down, fall off. And as new people moved into the area, they would go to this decrepit abbey and take the stones to build their own houses. And so thousands of these beautiful stones were taken into the countryside to help build houses. And this went on for about 200 years or so. Then someone had a vision. They could see a new abbey, a restored abbey, another beautiful place, even though without windows and without frame, the stone itself could be put back together to make this beautiful, beautiful place. And so as people moved out of those homes over the decades, people would go and reclaim these stones, these beautiful red and purple stones. And other accommodations were made, and from near and far, the stones were brought back to Tintern Abbey and were replaced into that beautiful, beautiful cathedral-like building. And to this day, it stands as a site of antiquity and beauty that people still go to because someone had a vision for rebuilding, for starting over, for putting the stones back together and making something beautiful. My friends, that is what God does. And that is what God can do with you if you will participate and cooperate with Almighty God in some area, taking the stones and rebuilding. Because God wants you to start over, to have a second chance in whatever corner of your soul needs it most. May that be your journey for this coming year. And may you find joy in the journey of new beginnings.